Markets are closely watching what's happening globally, and that includes the war between Israel and Iran. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Joining me to break it down and other factors in today's market trade is Arlen Suderman. Arlen, of course, with StoneX. So what is your takeaway as you watch this all unfold and how it's going to trickle back and have an effect on us here in the States?
Absolutely. It's a critical development that we're seeing here that has wide implications around the world. Now, from a commodity standpoint, the most obvious is the energy, energy prices, energy supplies, because Iran has threatened numerous times over the years that if it's struck, that it could shut down the Strait of Hormuz. And a fifth of the world's crude oil moves through that narrow passage. And so to be able to shut that down, obviously, would dramatically tighten supplies of crude oil. And it has not done so yet. It is reportedly contemplating it, or at least restricting movement of ships and who gets through and who doesn't. The question is, does it still have the capability? Because Israel has dramatically weakened its military capabilities. Many of its military leaders are dead, and Israel has also taken out a lot of its military equipment as well. So there is some question about whether it could. But that is a risk. But also not getting much coverage is the impact on fertilizer. Iran is a big exporter of urea fertilizer. And while we're past the spring planting season, when our big fertilizer demand period is, our employees down in and our staff down in Brazil are talking about the big concern down in Brazil, because they're big buyers of fertilizer from down there, and they are getting ready for their next growing season. And they're worried about getting supplies. And that's largely because Israel struck a major gas field, one of the biggest gas fields in the world, that is utilized by Oman and also by Iran, largely to produce fertilizer in addition to other uses. And so that fertilizer production has largely been shut down for now. And so that's a concern that affects all of us.
When you look at that, Arlen, and the weight that it has, I mean, it's the president has had numerous discussions. There's some concerns as to how Wall Street is watching all of this happen. So we move forward through this, and as this conflict or war, whatever you want to call it, continues to move forward, the tensions are just going to build and kind of trickle back down to hear us in the States.
Yeah, and you'd be hard-pressed to convince the people in bomb shelters in Israel and Iran that this is not a war. Even if the politicians don't call it a war, it certainly is a war. And the concern is, does it spread to other countries in the region? Now, we've been seeing Saudi Arabia and Jordan assist Israel in trying to shoot down the missiles that are being targeted toward Israel. And that just shows there that not all of the Middle East stands together. There's different splits Iran's large in Persian versus the Arabs of Saudi Arabia and some of the other areas. And so they don't always just get along with each other. They're not all unified in their position. And I think a lot of those countries are tired of the nuclear threat and the volatility around Iran. But Iran still does have a significant influence. And so whether the United States gets involved, how they get involved, what kind of sleeper cell activity might there be around the world, those are concerns that could certainly have an impact on the United States, the U.S. economy, and certainly the world economy, particularly if energy and fertilizer are more negatively impacted.
Well, Arlen, we also know that the Feds are having their discussions as well. Do you see that as having any influence in the marketplace today?
Ironically, it's almost being overlooked with what's happening in Iran. And a lot of that is because the Fed isn't expected to do anything to change interest rates or the monetary policy when they release their statement this afternoon. And that's largely because of the uncertainty of the war, the uncertainty of President Trump's tariff war, as we're now coming toward the end of the 90-day rollback of the reciprocal tariffs. That'll be on July 9th, so we're getting relatively close. And we only really have one trade agreement out of that so far. Will there be more? I anticipate there probably won't be that many more before July 7th or 8th, as countries try to leverage the time as much as they can to get the best deal that they can. And so with that kind of uncertainty between those two issues, I don't see the Fed doing too much. A lot of focus will be on Jerome Powell's press conference, things that he says, and as well as on the fact that President Trump has indicated that he will soon nominate his replacement for Powell, even though Powell's term goes through into May of next year. A lot of that will focus attention. But otherwise, the other things are bigger factors in what the Fed is today.
What about immigration? What is going on with packing plants? We've got a lot of different information out there. Maybe a lot of it's misinformation at this point.
Well, it certainly made the news when we saw an ICE raid on a packing plant in the Omaha area with a number of arrests and there. And that sent a chilling effect through much of the food industry, where we depend heavily upon immigrant workers. We become very dependent on immigrant workers in the food industry and also in the leisure and hospitality industry, where there had also been some raids. And over the weekend, we saw President Trump say, we need to protect our farmers. We need to protect our food supply. We're going to pull back on those ICE raids in that sector, as well as the leisure and hospitality. But then we saw a Washington Post article yesterday that sent the protein sector prices tumbling when said that immigration was going to go ahead. Some of these raids are going to go ahead and there will be enforcement. And so even this morning, we saw President Trump make comments at an impromptu press conference where he said, well, we're going to protect these industries. So what gives? And what we think is happening here is a conflict between the fact that President Trump wants to protect our food supply, recognizing it's very dependent upon immigrant workers. And if immigrant workers are afraid of showing up to work, then you start to have some reductions in that. Same thing with leisure and hospitality. But at the same time, our immigration people don't want a president out there saying, we're not going to do any raiding of this industry, that which kind of sends a message, you can hire those without documents if you want, and they don't want that message sent. So I anticipate what we're going to see is a dramatic slowdown in raids in those sectors of the industry to honor the president's request, but not a total elimination because they don't want to say, well, you can do something illegal in this sector, so to speak. And that's going to leave a lot of uncertainty for the industry. And I think that's one of the reasons that we're seeing a halt in the rally in the cattle market and periodic pressure on the hog market as well.
Do we see any surprises coming from the cattle on feed report on Friday?
Well, generally expected to continue to see a shrinkage of the supply of cattle. And that's probably going to continue, particularly with the border with Mexico closed and a lot of feeder cattle backing up south of the border because of the New World screwworm. And frankly, we could very easily see that border remain closed well into the fourth quarter of this year, very possibly, if they can't get things turned around with the New World screwworm down there. That's going to continue to keep the supplies of cattle tight, particularly as we now see evidence of starting to rebuild the breeding herd, which means holding heifers back. So that meat supply is going to remain tight. We'll probably start feeding those cattle in Mexico and sending the meat up here, which means more corn exports going down to Mexico to feed those cattle.
Do a quick rewind as we wrap everything up today, Arlen. Let's talk about the concerns that are out there for the wheat market and why we've seen a jump within their trade.
A big jump there. We're seeing some bad weather in parts of the winter wheat belt with heavy rains, hail, high winds. Certainly not good for the quality crop, delayed harvest, but there's a lot of wheat still out there. And what we've seen is these weather stories that have triggered fund managers who have massively large short sold positions unwind those positions, which starts to turn the charts. We took out chart resistance yesterday. That triggers more algos or computer-driven buy orders, which creates more momentum. The momentum trading algos add buy orders to it, so we get this big rally in the market. There's a lot of wheat to be sold against that. The world cash market is set in the Black Sea, and right now Black Sea wheat prices are well below where we're currently at. So I anticipate that this is more about short covering than it is something fundamental that's going to be sustained, and I think we'll see a lot of wheat sold against it.
All right, Arlen Suderman giving us all the dirt on today's market trade. This is the American Ag Network.